The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Oh, yeah, we're cruising along, Carmen and Yurko, on this Thursday. We have game five of the NLCS tonight. It's the only game. It'll happen just after 7 o'clock from L.A., and Dodgers need a winner. Their season is over. 106 wins could be kaput. Merkin made a good point in the IDOT bullpen earlier today. He said, maybe they're just spent. You know, you go toe-to-toe with San Fran all year. They think about what they poured into a season where they won 106 games and they still didn't win the division. They had to play an extra game. Then they went to five with San Fran. And I don't see this often, but I said, Merk, that's a good point.
Wow.
Because I do think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. I think they have the most talent, but they might be out tonight. And maybe they could still rally. We've seen teams rally from down, you know, in this spot.
Yeah.
But Atlanta's got a 3-1 lead after last night. Impressive win. And Eddie Rosario becomes just the second player in baseball history to have multiple four-hit games in one single postseason series, Yurko. The other guy, Robin Yount, the Hall of Famer, in 1982.
Yeah.
So how about that? So the Dodgers could be out tonight, and then Houston tied the series last night. So that's the baseball.
Houston's up 3-2.
Yeah, Houston went up 3-2. Excuse me. That series is off. They go back to Houston tomorrow for the final two games, and maybe Houston wins tomorrow and ends that. So there's your baseball update.
We'll be going deep into November with this World Series.
Yeah,
huh?
I think it'll be a little bit later.
Both of these games go seven games.
Yeah. So, okay, Bears-Bucks, we're talking a lot about that. Allen Robinson, like you can watch the All-22 from this past weekend, and maybe that could be a little unfair because Devontae Adams is probably the best receiver in football right now, but
right.
You really can see like when a great receiver wins at the line of scrimmage, you know, like Jamar Chase's rookie is doing it a lot. If you watch some of their tape, and like Justin Jefferson wins a lot, and Devontae Adams won a lot over the weekend, you know? And it's like, is Allen Robinson winning enough? It like, cause Yurko made a good point. He said, talking about this offense and whatever they think they can get out of Justin Fields and whatever they can give him next to say, okay, now let's add this part of our offense. Yurko said, well, where are the playmakers that are supposed to be making your plays? Why is Allen Robinson not winning more?
Why,
I guess.
So what is it dependent upon? You saw him win against Detroit, right? You won against Detroit?
I'm trying to remember if that. Like,
you also have a number of 50-50 balls that you've got to be a part of.
I'm not even meaning those. I mean,
right? Wide receivers make catches when they're thrown open.
Right, yes.
Where they throw it to the spot, even though you're covered, he's throwing you open so you can go ahead and make a play. So a lot of what a wide receiver does is dependent upon the quarterback getting him the football. So that's why it's tough to judge Allen Robinson.
Is Allen Robinson in, like, a general malaise? Because when you look at his career, right, wasn't it Christian Hackenberg at Penn State? Awful.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles, he still had a 1,400-yard season.
Yes, he did.
Mitch Trubisky, you know, now Andy Dalton into a – like, is Allen Robinson just sort of like in a general malaise where he's like, I wanted a big deal. Okay, I'm playing on this franchise tag. Is he just looking for, like, I can't wait to be somewhere. I can pick my spot next year, and I won't make the same mistake I made 4 years ago. I'm going to find a team that wants me that's got a quarterback.
Well, he wanted to get paid. Remember, this is going to be a wide receiver that gets two big deals.
I know, because he was young.
Not
when he got
the one first big one. Deal. He's going to get two big deals.
That's true.
So it's dependent upon the offense that you're in, how successful a wide receiver can be. Okay?
Yeah.
It's dependent upon the ability of the quarterback in that offense to be able to find you and get you the ball. And it's dependent upon, you know, Matt Nagy being able to be a play designer to make things happen for you. The happiest guy in the world is going to be Allen Robinson this offseason. They're not going to put another tag on him.
No,
They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
If he can get emancipated and freed from the Chicago Bears.
That's how bad it is? You need to
that's
get emancipated.
How bad it is,
I mean,
yes.
Think about that.
If he can get away and go to a team that's got like Kyler Murray.
Oh.
You know, you go to a team that throws the ball. Cleveland might need him. Jarvis Landry's been hurt. Odell Beckham's busted up again.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be able to go to Cleveland.
I don't know that that's another spot either with Baker or whatever else they're going to have.
I'm looking for a place that needs wide receivers so he can maximize his deal also. Hmm. You know, maybe Detroit in the division. Detroit says, hey, we want to do something with you as a wide receiver. We've got a lot of money to spend.
But then Jared Goff's your quarterback. Like, is he going to be more particular about where he picks?
How about Green Bay?
Oh, there you go.
Maybe he goes to Green Bay.
There you go.
And then what do you say?
Boy, Devontae Adams and Allen Robinson? Oof, ouch.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good combo.
Yeah. But Aaron Rodgers
would
like that.
He helps Devontae. And Devontae helps him.
Devontae would help
him. They're both helping him. And then Tanyan's the one that's really clapping. Yeah. Tanyan's like, yeah, I get to run free again. Like,
I wonder if Allen will be more selective this time around. Because he has been paid before. He got the franchise tag this year. That's a little north of 17 schmil, though. So he's doing well. Can he be very selective and, like, truly then, with a couple years left in his prime, show everybody what he's made of if he's playing with a better quarterback?
I don't know if he's an elite receiver.
I don't know either, because I don't think he wins.
Three in each conference.
As much as we can make excuses about the play calling, the quarterback play, I think you're right, Yerk. Like, I think we all want to love Allen Robinson. We all really appreciate him. His numbers have been very good the last couple years in a bad offense. But to be top five, you've got to be one of those guys that does win at the line of scrimmage a lot, right? And I don't know that that's him all the time. And
not only that, but some guys that are close, like when they're running for the football, they have that little extra gear that gets them to the ball.
Yeah.
You know, or that little extra bit of savvy that puts them in a position to make a play.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's there. I still consider him one of the better wide receivers in the league.
He's really good.
He is a true number one wide receiver. If he leaves, is Mooney a true number one wide receiver?
I don't know.
And we've seen Marcus Robinson have a big year here. You know, we've seen Marty Booker put together a couple of seasons. Conway put together a season. We've seen receivers that put a couple, but never over a long haul. Never sustained excellence here at the wide receiver position.
I think part of it is just, like Yerko said, he can be a true number one when the offense is operating correctly. He is never, I don't think he'll hold you back, right? But what you're seeing across the league is that there's so many talented wide receivers, and I think it really is like a proliferation of a spread offense, and so many kids now growing up and being, they're able to excel. Like, you've even got smaller guys who can be dynamic wide receivers too.
Right. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, Javonte Smith isn't a giant.
Jalen Waddle's not a giant. Nope. I mean, he's, you know.
But CeeDee Lamb, you look at him and Cooper both.
Yeah.
You look at them both and say, boy, they're better than, Allen Robinson.
There's probably 30 wide receivers across the league that you could classify as number one wide receivers.
Yeah, Metcalf, monster. Yeah.
And, there's so many of them. Tyler Lockett's really good for Seattle. Now, he's a different type of player, too. Another smaller guy.
Claypool.
Yeah, they're just all over. Deontay Johnson. They're all over the league now.
I mean, it's just maybe the athletes and the differences.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown. You got three on the Bucs.
And the one that proved that he couldn't be a number one when he was thrust into that role is Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah,
whatever. The way he's played, he doesn't deserve it.
He's hurt now. His season.
But that's the point. But he's proven over the course of time that he could not take over for Antonio Brown.
I was listening to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and they were talking about Brady and how we're going to see him again. And it is crazy that Sylvie and I with some buddies were there 15 years ago in Foxborough when the famous Juke game. We juked Urlacher. We were there.
And they had the conversation afterwards.
Yeah. And I mean, here we are 15 years later. It's crazy to think that not only is Tom Brady still playing, but he's still playing as well as any quarterback in the league. I mean, look at his numbers this year. It's staggering. I mean, it really is. And Sylvie was saying, when do we get a chance to cheer for a quarterback like as Bears fans like that? You know, and we've all said that. Like, when do we get ours? Aren't they like, how have they not even lucked into one in six decades? And it's like, when will it happen where we can feel so good about cheering for our quarterback? And it made me think, I'm in the car listening, and I'm like, what's the baseline for like us feeling really good about cheering for our quarterback? Like, what would we all accept? And I wanted to know what people would think. Like, give us some names. Like, I would take this. And what you have to do is throw out like titles. And I'm going to tell you that because of this. Anybody that would say they'd be Philip Rivers was three times the quarterback Eli Manning was.
Yes.
Period. End of story.
Yes.
So I'm not saying like Eli Manning and his championships. You don't get that. We're talking about like what's the baseline level of play that would make you feel good? Because Philip Rivers was the name that came to mind for me. And then I can just hear people say, well, what are Eli Manning once? No, in the garbage And Eli wasn't, I'm telling you, Phillip Rivers was three times the quarterback Eli Manning was. And I know Eli's going to go to the Hall because he's a Manning and he won two in New York. I get it. But we're throwing that out. But when I thought about it, when Sylvie said that, I thought, what would be acceptable? Phillip Rivers was the name that came to mind. And you could probably dog some of the playoff performances and things like that. And he never got a team to a Super Bowl. But I would take cheering for Phillip Rivers and feel happy. Phillip Rivers had an incredible career. Phillip Rivers is a borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
What's the like the baseline, Mellor? Like, who's the guy that you'd absolutely, you could say, I'd be happy?
It is so funny because I heard that. I was driving around and heard the same conversation.
Did you think the same thing?
I was like, well, it wasn't Rivers. But I started trying to, like, you know, go through the Rolodex in my mind of, like, quarterbacks and, like, what is the bare minimum?
What's
like
the bare minimum?
Like a four-year run
where
a guy is, like, a top-five quarterback. Like, and that's just that's what I felt like. Like, a four- or five-year run, if you got elite quarterback play, how could you not be happy? Because it's just been a desert.
It is.
For the Bears.
And, like, who's that play? Like, what would you say? Oh, I'd be so happy cheering if that guy was my quarterback, you know? And obviously, we're throwing out Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And, like, that's not really what we're talking about here. What it more just got my brain moving, like, what would we really be happy with? And maybe as Bears fans, we're never totally happy unless they win a couple more Super Bowls. I don't know. But, like, Phillip Rivers came to mind. I said to myself, man, if Phillip Rivers would have been our quarterback, I think I would have looked back on it and said, yeah, I'm happy. Phillip was great.
You know what did come to mind, and I'm sure it was because of all the news that was coming down, but, like, divorce, obviously the allegations, but Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's first four seasons with the Texans.
Please.
If Justin Fields could put together a run like that,
I know.
I mean, I would be ecstatic.
Me too.
That's a pretty high bar, though.
It is. And maybe Justin can do it. Like, maybe he's finally our guy. Like, I feel so much better about Justin Fields than I ever did about Mitch Trubisky. And I'm sorry if I'm being too hard on Mitch. And I know Mike's going to be pissed at me, Mike North, because he loves Mitch. But I'm sorry. I just never saw it with Mitch. I didn't. And I'm not a football expert. I'm not an all 20. I get it. I'm no expert. I'm not a quarterback whisperer. I'm not a quarterback expert. But I know a thing or two. I've been doing this a long time. I've been around a lot of smart football people like Yurko and Waddle and Keith Van Horn and Howard Griffith and Marv Levy and Steve McMichael. And I feel like I've kind of paid attention and I've asked questions and I've learned a lot over the years. I never saw it. I don't think anybody ever will with Mitch. I think he is what he is. Great athlete, good arm, backup quarterback. Needs to come in and win you four games. Mitch will probably do it. Mitch being a dynamic quarterback that's going to make everybody better and carry a team to playoffs.
Not going to
happen. He doesn't have it.
And if you got to pay him $35 million, you live to regret it.
He does not have it.
Yes.
Like, I'm pretty confident in saying that, watching him for a long time. I think Justin might, even though it's far from perfect and there are going to be mistakes and he's got to learn. Like, I feel so much better watching Justin Fields already because I feel like he kind of gets what's going on the field.
So what if I told you Roethlisberger's the name?
Totally. Without even thinking twice. Totally, Yerk. Now, he's also a Hall of Famer, so that might be one of the, like, the duh, of course. Like, it has to be maybe a step below Roethlisberger.
Step below Roethlisberger.
Even. Like, who would it be that you'd say, okay, like, yeah, that guy was good. I feel good about our
people
quarterback.
People got names
out
there.
Yeah, we'll take some calls coming up next, all right?
I don't want to ruin it.
312-332-3776. We got McKnight at the movies in, like, 15, 20 minutes. Don't miss that. We'll take some calls on this coming up next.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Waddle's got the perfect quarterback for, like, what we're talking about here. And I got this idea just because I was listening to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and Sylvie said, when do we get to cheer for a guy like Brady or Rodgers or Mahomes, you know? And I was thinking, like, what is the absolute bare minimum that we would have at some point in our lives been happy with? And the name that came to mind for me was Phillip Rivers. Waddle texted us a perfect one. Matt Ryan. Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, a guy like Matt Ryan, you know, who's, I don't know that Matt Ryan's ever been a top five quarterback, but he's kind of kicked around somewhere in the top 10 in the best years of his career, right? And he's had a really good career, went to a Super Bowl. They botched it, but Matt Ryan is like, yeah, I would have been it, right? We would have been happy. My God, would we have ever been happy with a guy like that? So a bunch of Bears fans have names here, and so let's run through some calls, Yurko. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Rich is in Logan Square. See, like, this is a good one. Rich gets the spirit of it. Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead, buddy. you doing? Yeah, Buffalo Bills fan living in Chicago for the last 25 years. But we ended up getting Drew Bledsoe. I was psyched. Then you find out he's kind of soft, and he's not a great leader. The team doesn't really rally around him. But he puts up good numbers. And then he goes away. Then he got the next 12 years of hot garbage with J.P. Lossman and Trent Edwards.
J.P. Lossman.
And, you know, all those guys. And it's funny because it's a double-edged sword. You know that Bledsoe's not going to do it. You're definitely not going to go out and buy that jersey because you don't just love him. So as much as I can tell you guys, yeah, you want that quarterback, that in between, it's kind of like going 8-8 every year, you know?
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. I mean, but Bledsoe's kind of like one of those names, too, that I think might even fit into that category of what we're talking about. Like, especially early in his career, Drew Bledsoe was pretty good. You played against Drew. I mean, like, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was a good player.
You know?
The injury. Find his receiver. Remember who his number one guy was out of Ohio State?
Terry Glenn.
Terry Glenn?
Terry Glenn was his number one guy. Ben Coates.
Yeah.
And a young Adam Vinatieri kicking game-winning field goals that looked like somebody just sliced the ball off the off the tee. He put one outside.
Is that right?
Felt like it was left by 10 yards and came slicing back in for a game winner.
Go for
94,
that.
I think it was.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Let's go to Chuck in Phoenix. What's up, Chuck?
Steve McNair?
I'm sorry, who?
Steve McNair.
Oh, Steve McNair. Good call. Yeah, Chuck. Like Tennessee a guy like Titan. That. Yes.
His first start was against us. I believe Steve McNair's first start was against us.
You were in Jayville.
I believe so, yes. Give me the year that he came out.
I will tell you right now. Steve McNair's first ever game was 1995. He started two games. Would it have been 95?
Take a look if Green Bay was one of those games.
Sure. Hold on.
Yeah.
When you were with Green Bay.
Yeah, there you would have been with Green Bay.
Yeah, I said, see if Green Bay's one
That's
of those
what I'm
two
looking.
Games.
Hold on.
It was late in the season. They had moved out. There were only 17,000 people at the game. 17,000 people at the game. The old Houston Astrodome. And they had talked about getting out of Dodge.
I do not see Green Bay on the schedule, Yerk. Jayville, Steelers, Cleveland, Bengals, Jags, Vikes, Bears, Bucks. Seems like Green Bay would. They played, but no.
No, then it would have been the next year when he's a full-time starter.
Yeah.
It's all right. Thought I had a memory there. I don't. Might have been an earlier memory before they decided to move out.
Space is in Plainfield. What up, Space?
Space ball.
What's up, guys? How you feeling?
Good, man. How you doing?
What's happening?
Man, I'm great. You guys are on point, man. You called some good ones out. Matty Ice. You called out what was the other one?
McNair, Bledsoe, great one.
McNair, exactly. Another one that comes to mind. What about Donovan McNabb?
There you go.
I thought he was pretty solid.
Sure. For sure.
You know, pretty solid. He definitely torched the Bears.
He might even be too good.
Yeah, he might be. Like, if you get McNabb, we'll really be doing backhand springs across the street.
He might be too good.
Yes.
He was never the best, but there was a stretch there where he was consistently like considered a top five quarterback, went to five straight NFC championship games.
And straight.
They lost the Super Bowl, and they were in that game against the Patriots until the final 2 minutes.
Yes, of course.
He was thrown up in the huddle.
Well, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, he might be too good, or he might be in that Matt Ryan category, you would say. You know, never like a top five, but
local
top
product.
10. And
local
yes,
product.
He was.
You got to like that. Dalton, Illinois, you know that?
Dalton, Illinois.
Yeah.
That's right. Sammy and Homer Glenn. Go ahead, Sammy.
Hey, yeah, so I'm definitely thinking like Waddle with the Matt Ryan, but also Matt Stafford. And the way I think about it is this. The closest we ever came was in 06 with the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning and the Colts. If we had any one of those guys towards, you know, the top end of their play with the defense that we've had in the past, I'd say we probably have a Super Bowl by now.
Matt Stafford, Sammy, I think is a great call. And I've always been a kind of a Stafford fan. And Stafford's like this interesting case, right? This is where the eye test and the stats don't necessarily match up, right? Because guess whose career passer rating going into this season was like identical to Jay Cutler's? Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty much identical. But every time I'd watch Matt Stafford play, I would go, man, he's good. And he's better than Jay. And yes, he was frustrating at times because he'd throw the dumb pick or take some risky chance that you know he shouldn't make. And he should know as a veteran quarterback that he shouldn't take, but he'd do it anyway. But I'd always watch him and I'd go, Stafford's good. that organization is holding him back. Probably like a lot of Bears quarterbacks, in fairness. Maybe in fairness to Mitch, the Bears did just hold him back. And in fairness to Jay, the Bears did hold him back. Because I think that franchise in the Motor City held him back. And I think we're seeing now, he's a pretty good, he's even better than a pretty good player, right?
To me, he's the favorite to win the MVP.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Go ahead and tell me why.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, look at what Kyler's doing right now.
Well, okay. I'm not going to argue.
What about Dak or Kyler?
I'm not arguing that Dak's not a great player either. I'm just telling you that everybody, he's out there. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
That offense is next level with him.
9.8 yards an attempt.
I know.
Do you know how many fewer attempts he has? His quarterback play is much more efficient than it is down in Tampa. What Tom's doing down in Tampa, you've said, is, oh, my God, otherworldly.
You're probably right.
But he's right on his heels.
Yeah.
I mean, he is on Brady's heels, but without the opportunities.
And look at that.
Playing much more efficiently and at a higher level.
Look at how much better like they seem to be just with the quarterback change, too, right?
Right. And now Dak is right there, too. There's three guys with 16 touchdowns. Yeah. There's another with 17.
Yeah.
Kyler, yes. But it'll come down to the end. You know, it's a little bit early.
It's six games in, right?
It's early, okay? And we'll see as time goes on what's going to end up happening. They're playing in the same division. If the Rams beat Arizona twice, guess what?
Yeah, true.
Then it's Matt Stafford. If Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals beat Matt Stafford, then guess who
Cardinals already beat him once.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if they split, but you know what I'm saying? So that's what you have.
Yeah.
Both have the challenge of staying healthy the whole year.
Mm. Yeah. Good point.
So the challenge.
I'd put him in the conversation. And you make a good argument.
And then Dak can go do what he's doing, and Dallas can finish. And they're America's team. Guess what happens when America's team's out there? Everybody seems to notice. The old, silver and blue?
Yeah.
Everybody notices what's happening down in Dallas.
If Dak keeps this up.
And if he continues to where he's going, he's going to be very considered, too. Because he'll be up 40 touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
You might have five guys throw 40 touchdowns.
Oh, God, Well, with the extra game, too, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what Dak's on pace for. I mean, he's been fantastic.
I think it's a great quarterback run.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry.
Oh. Whew. I mean, running backs just don't win the award anymore, but he is something. Blake is in St. Charles on ESPN 1000. Hey, Blake.
Hey, guys. Great call on Matt Ryan, a couple of those other names I had in my head. Carson Palmer was one that came to mind for me.
That's a good call.
Number one pick. And then I started thinking of other names, and I'm like, man, half these guys that I'm thinking of played with the Bears their last year or two in the league, like Cordell Stewart or Chris Chandler or one of those guys. But just because you guys just mentioned it, the MVP thing, I took Matt Stafford plus 2,000 to win the MVP before the year. I'm a Georgia fan there, but I'm hoping he wins it. I think he's a good in the conversation.
You might want to prop swap that and then just make another bet on Stafford now with the new odds. Think about that. PropSwap.com, the prop swap app. Blake, thanks, buddy. Carson Palmer's a great name. Oh, and guess when Carson Palmer played his best football with Bruce Arians?
Yeah, there's a shock.
How about Carson Palmer's a really good call. Like Carson was, you could have looked at a 5-6 year stretch, and as a Bears fan, you would have said, "Yeah, our quarterback's really good."
I've got a name that makes you scratch your head. I don't see it up there.
Okay.
Vinny Testaverde, 46,000 yards.
Yeah, but more of that was just because the longevity of Vinny.
275 touchdown passes.
How many interceptions, though? I bet you he wasn't 2-1.
267.
Okay, so, almost 1-1.
Yeah, but that was a different era.
It was.
Played in a different era where they were doing different things offensively.
It was.
Okay.
Carson Palmer, Blake might have just had the winner. That's a great call of what we're talking about. We would have, I think, sat back and said, man, he was good. Oof. Well, one day we'll get ours. Could have been Mahomes.
Don't know when.
One day. Someday. Hopefully it's Justin Fields. I think maybe it could be Justin. If you want to chime in, sit tight. We can take some more calls. 312-332-3776. We're also going to do McKnight at the Movies coming up.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
That's it. That Tom Waddle's a funny guy. funny like a clown. He's a funny guy. We're going to tape Crosstalk Unhinged today. This week's episode will be up on the ESPN Chicago app a couple hours from now, right after our show. We will go upstairs and tape with Waddle and Sylvie, so you can get it on our page or the Waddle and Sylvie page on the great ESPN Chicago app. New Odds Couple comes your way tomorrow. Mike and I are going to record that in the morning. We'll get you set for week 7 in the NFL, week 8 in the college game. Oh, and then tomorrow we got the Football Friday extravaganza. So Yurko and I will do our regular show 10 to noon. Then we're off to Twin Peaks in Warrenville. 1 to 3, you can come hang with us. Grab a cocktail, kick off the weekend. We're going to tape a special Football Friday podcast. And Yurko's going to bring the whiteboard and do some X's and O's for us. So that's going to be a good time.
It'll be a Pictionary paper,
Pictionary board, yes. If you want to talk about the topic that we've been discussing, about the Bears and quarterbacks and all that fun stuff, just kind of like a fun topic. We'll get back to some calls in a few minutes. But we do have to do McKnight at the Movies. We don't want to ever miss it because we love it so much. And Connor has struck again. Now let's see what we've got cooked up for this week. Hopefully you've been playing along here recently and you kind of know the theme of what Connor's been doing during the NFL season. That will obviously help. So when you think you know it, first correct caller wins, 312-332-3776. Here we go with McKnight at the Movies. This is part one.
Our scene opens on a dinner party. Camera pushes through the window and slowly zooms to a man at the head of a long rectangular table. He's giving a speech, really making a meal of it, too. It's as much a speech as a performance for everyone at the table, and he knows it. Plush setting, massive painting of a Tuscan landscape in the background, candles on the table, white rose centerpiece, fancy dress for everybody seated, suits, dresses. This is clearly a to-do or maybe a memorable event.
I don't know it yet. I'm trying to piece together, you know, what we do know about what Connor's doing during the NFL season and how it relates to the Bears, and I can't think of what this is yet, but the phones are starting to ring, so the callers might know.
They may know, yeah.
312-332-ESPN. Here's part two.
As the speech goes, we've got a couple of cheap jokes off the top. They're landing, though. KYP, know your personnel. The man speaking clearly knows who he's talking to. He's slaying with the cheesy stuff, so I guess it's hard to blame him. Camera cuts to another man among the group, maybe 30, both him and the speaker. This speech is about the man seated, I think. It's about their friendship throughout the years and his relationships as this speaker has seen them. The guy seated is just a little uneasy about this speech, maybe about the whole night. A bit on the two actors. Everyone else we've seen so far is just background. These guys are local boys, both of them. Ties to the city, roots in local theater, high school in the burbs, baseball fans, both of them. The actor making the speech spent the 90s and early 2000s in roles like this one, supporting stuff, but really took off on HBO. The main guy sitting, well, he's been huge since the 80s. Graduated from teen movies, not a Brat Pack guy, but Brat Pack adjacent.
Wow, I don't know, and I feel like I kind of know one of the actors he's talking about.
I think I know one of the actors, too. Was he just involved in a little bit of a...
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I can't pull this for some reason. I'm wondering if it's a movie I don't know. I mean, which would be weird because Connor picks classic movies. Okay. You think you know it?
I do, but it has nothing to do with down there.
Right. And that's the theme, unless he changed it up.
Yeah,
it.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
All right, here goes. Do we have a correct answer, Merck? I don't know. People are stumped maybe right now. Here we go. Here's part three.
All right, back to the table. A few more cheap jokes, and our speaker has turned his attention to a woman at the table. I see. This is a rehearsal dinner. These two, the near Brat Pack actor and the woman we've just seen, are engaged to be married. Our man at the head of the table, the best man, is giving a speech at the rehearsal dinner, something they mostly do in early 2000 rom-coms. All right, she's been introduced now, and I recognize her. She's been in a couple of movies, but her ex is the more famous one. Not an actor, but he's got more jewelry than anybody else in his profession. Anyway, our best man is wrapping up the speech now. He's playing a much kinder man than he will in his breakout role. No screaming for turtle in this flick. Camera moves to our couple, and our main man still looks a little weirded out about this situation. Maybe even about his future bride? I'll have to ask him about it next time I see him at the ballpark. I can promise you I won't film it and put it on Twitter, though. There's no need for that nonsense.
Now I know one of the actors.
Right. Who's Ari Gold?
It's Jeremy Piven.
Piven is one, and I think Cusack's the other. And then what they've done together,
I don't know.
The two are both correct.
I don't. So it's Cusack and Piven. Yes. Why can't I think of what this is?
All right, we got a correct answer.
It's like Jennifer Garner or something like that. Somebody that divorced somebody that's.
I've been stumped.
Well, Yurko's on to. He knows the act.
Yurko knows the whole thing, but we can't get the movie. And I'm wondering.
And Yurko, you know what? He just figured out the link. But he doesn't know that he's figured out the link just yet.
Yeah. What the heck? All right, Joe and Aurora, you got to fill us in, Joe.
Serendipity.
Oh. All right, hold on, Joe. Thank you very much.
Now, do you guys...
Joe is the winner. I have seen Serendipity.
Do you recall the actress?
Kate Beckinsale, right?
No. Is she in that? She's not in that.
Julia Roberts?
No.
Jennifer Garner.
It is... Not Jennifer Garner, but she was linked to... Well, she was married to Ben Affleck. There's a Boston tie-in here.
Oh, J-Lo?
No. I'm taking you off track. Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, Bridget Moynihan.
And do you recall?
She's got a child with Brady, right?
There's your link.
There's the link. Oh, yeah. Connor, you sneaky SOB.
But
I
think I had one of Jeter's exes, though.
You sneaky... So Connor's been doing like something to do with the Bears opponent. But basically he's been, you know, a couple weeks ago it was Beverly Hills Cop because they played the Lions. Last week it was Wayne's World because they played the Packers. You sneaky.
Connor. I have to watch Serendipity now.
Connor.
I've never seen it, so I'm going to find it.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you,
taking you off the path.
If Connor ever doesn't want to do White Sox pre and post anymore, you just do this. I don't know who else is interested, but there's got to be a market for this. This is incredible. You really went sneaky this week, and good for Joe and anybody else that picked up on that clue, because that's a deep dive. And I think you kind of have to know that movie well. I've only seen Serendipity once. I mean, that's going back 20 years.
2001, Carm.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Exactly.
Ooh, that was well done. You fooled me on that one today, man.
Carm, I was nowhere near it. I mean, I had the actors. I couldn't get nothing.
Brady was never married to Moynihan, right? They just have a child together.
They have a child together.
Yes.
Play the reveal.
Why don't I? Excuse me. Here's the reveal. Sorry. Anytime we can hear Cusack and Piven, I'm game.
Well, thank you. I take this very seriously. It's a gift to be the best man. They say that once in your lifetime, someone comes along whom you're absolutely meant to be with. Everything feels great. Stars are aligned. Body and spirit are in balance. For my friend Jonathan Traeger, that person was me. But as you know, Johnny and I were simpatico. We were brothers from another mother. We were friends since freshman year. I watched him go out with woman after woman, and he'd always come crawling. He would come crawling back to me. It was embarrassing.
You loved it.
But then one night he came home, and things were different. His adolescent dream of becoming a documentary filmmaker was a thing of the past.
Thank God.
He hardly even responded to my playful yet tormenting flicks of my finger against the soft part of his skull as he studied for finals. And that is because he had found her, the woman he was meant to be with. And if anyone is qualified to know when he met his soulmate, it would be me, his first wife. She's smart, she's funny, she's beautiful. In short, she's the kind of woman that any man would dream about. And I think we all have. So, it is with sadness and fond memories that I raise my glass to the new Mrs. Jonathan Traeger. I'll tell you something, my friends, if I had to lose Johnny to anyone, I can't imagine a more perfect woman than Hallie. Cheers to both of you.
Pretty good best man speech, actually. Yeah. Ari Gold, top... that's not Ari Gold, of course, but it's Piven. Ari Gold, top 10 movie character, or TV character the last 20 years?
Hey, you put that list together, Carm. You want to do the top 100 TV characters?
No, it's too much work.
Still going to leave out Buttermaker?
No. You. Ari Gold was a great character, man. He played that thing to a T, didn't he?
Yep. And doesn't Tom Cruise play a version of Ari Gold in Tropic Thunder?
Tropic Thunder, yeah. I mean, a little different because he wasn't an agent, right? He was a movie. He was the head of a studio.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, so they changed it up a smidge.
He was the head of a studio, but he was that very sort of abrasive, old school, in-your-face, like, draconian kind of leader.
Have any of those guys from that movie show, I mean, from that show from HBO, done anything since then?
No.
Like Vinny Chase, what's his real name?
Adrian Grenier.
He's done a couple things.
He's not a very good actor.
Turtle was in Secretariat. He's just a good-looking face. Turtle was in Secretariat.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He played one of the journalists.
They've done bit parts here and there, but that's about it.
Yeah. Isn't Dylan? Isn't his brother in it too?
Kevin Dillon.
Yeah. Yes. He's not bad. He's hung around for a while.
He's done okay. Let's see. Let's get a couple more calls in here from people talking about the Bears topic we had. How about Mike in New Lenox? It's Adam Mikey. What up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Carmen York. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, got to tell you that McKnight in the movies, that's awesome, man.
That's great.
Every week, I mean, can't wait to listen to it.
Thanks, Mike.
Talk about the quarterbacks. I'm a diehard Eagles fan living in Chicago. Donovan McNabb was my choice, but figured since I was online so long, I had to wait and think a couple more. So it's kind of blessed for me, I guess, being an Eagles fan. But yours might like it, a little alum. What about Tony Romo? And then the second name is Dante Culpepper.
I don't know about Culpepper as much. Romo's a very good one.
Yeah.
Very good one, Mike. You could have signed me up for Tony Romo's career. Absolutely. And they dogged him a little bit. He couldn't win this game or that game. But, man, Tony was good.
Offensive performance, though.
He was good.
Offensive performance, he was phenomenal.
I'll take it. I mean, I bet you if you look to Tony, and this is going to be a little bit skewed with the newer age quarterbacks, obviously, because like Yurko always talks about, the passing game is so much different. I bet you Tony's top seven or so in all-time quarterback rating, right?
I think so. Yeah. I'm looking through the stats right here.
You're still good. All right, we'll grab a few more calls coming up. 312-332-3776. Don't go anywhere. Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, Twitch all week brought to you by 3Chi, Yurko's guys. Thank you, 3Chi. Tons of interaction on Twitter with what we were talking about, like the quarterback you'd be happy with if we had, as Bears fans, that kind of career. And a lot of the names we heard from the callers, I see a lot of Tony Romo. Fitz says, would you guys have, it's funny, but taken like prime Andy Dalton? I don't know. That one maybe not quite good enough. Although he did go to the playoffs a lot.
Yeah, not good enough.
Matt Hasselbeck, that's from Chicago in Austin. Matt Hasselbeck, that's decent one. Phil, though, says Jeff Garcia. Rod, Andrew Luck. A lot of Romos. Alex Smith, Matt Stafford, a lot of Matt Ryans. So kind of the familiar names that we heard. Thank you to everybody on Twitter and on Twitch playing along.
Yeah,
a lot of guys also going, oh, Connor, you sneaky dog.
He is a sneaky dog.
For that McKnight at the movie. That was really well done by Connor today, and I mean really well done. It always is.
160 starts, it looks like, for Matt Hasselbeck. 36,000 yards.
Wow, did he start that many games? I would not have guessed it was that high.
85-75 QB record, and it looks like we've got 10-3-2-2, 17-year career.
Wow, I would not, man. I guess you forget he played for a long time with Mike in Seattle, right?
Yeah, most of the starts were in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, it had to be. Wow, I do not think I would have guessed that many games. But in Tennessee, that's an interesting one.
Right, in Indianapolis. Not a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio, though.
And Andrew Luck's a great call. Like, brief career, injuries derailed it. But, boy, he was good, wasn't he?
I got to get Tony.
I would have taken that.
Where's Romo's touchdown?
Right, we would. I mean, you sign up for that any day.
So you do have 2-1 on Tony Romo.
Yeah,
248, 117, ninth all time on QB rating, 97.1.
He was pretty efficient.
QB rating. All time. Yeah, ninth all time.
What about someone like Matt Hasselbeck?
We said that.
Sorry, I apologize.
It's okay. You're doing a lot over there. He's trying to get the final word ready.
He's doing great.
Hasselbeck's a good call. Somebody on Twitter said that. I think it was Rob.
78-49 as a starter. In the playoffs, he was 2-4.
That's Romo. That's why they dogged him.
Yeah. 2-4 in the playoffs.
Let's say hi to Mark in Villa Park. Hey, Mark.
Hey. I was thinking, what about Kirk Cousins?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Polarizing name, Marky.
Very polarizing.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good call because Kirk Cousins has mostly annoyed me in his career.
Well, he's annoyed anybody that's been in touch with him.
Man, Marky, that's good. Like, would I take?
Why do receivers run from him? You know, he's had receivers that just quit him, dog.
You like that? He's a stat collector. He's not like a winner.
I want no part of that.
Yeah, I think I'd say no.
What's
he's
his
a polarizing
QB?
Guy.
110 games. What's his QB record? 110 games.
His record, I'm going to say, is 55 and 55.
54, 54, and 2. How about that?
So when I say he's a stat collector and not a winner, that's what I'm talking about. Tony in Crystal Lake. What up, Tone?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey. Hey, love the show, guys.
Thanks.
I got two, but I'm going to go with one. What about Randall Cunningham?
Yes. What's the other one?
And Michael Vick.
I don't know as much on Vick. I once debated Sylvie that I think I'd rather have Rex Grossman as my quarterback than Michael Vick. That might have been a little much.
You made a mistake because you did not want
but
that.
Vick still, I mean.
I played against Randall.
Randy's looking at me. What did Michael, was Michael Vick a winner, Randy, and I'm not aware of it?
He went to Green Bay and won a playoff game. I know
did.
That.
He's the first one to beat Green Bay in Green Bay.
No, he beat Green Bay, yeah.
He's the first one to beat Green Bay in Lambeau
Field.
I can't believe
you're arguing Michael Vick or Rex Grossman.
Well,
what?
Those we used to argue. Michael Vick, career quarterback rating of 80.
Wait, but he wasn't. He wasn't defined by his rating because of his ability to run.
And I think we used to argue about, like, purely as a quarterback. Of course, Vic was a more dynamic player, and he could run. But, like, as a he had an 80 quarterback rating.
You got to look up Rex Grossman's stats because Rex Grossman started 16 games 1 year.
What did Vic do with Andy Reid as his coordinator that one season in Philly?
I don't remember his QB rating
was, like, over 100 that year.
Yeah. It was
100.2.
Played 143 games. He had a quarterback rating of 80. Do we have time for Eddie? We don't. Eddie, call back tomorrow. Eddie talked about Bears need a win already.
I agree with you.
They need a win.
Yes, I'm with Eddie.
We always want to win. Tomorrow, we're going to have a Football Friday, 10 noon. Then we're going to hit the road. We're going to tape a Football Friday podcast from 1 to 3 out at the Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Yurko is going to do some diagramming a play, so be with us for that. Thank you to Connor McKnight for a great McKnight of the Movies today and great work by Midway Jeff Meller, Jarrett Strauss, and Randy Merkin. Coming up next, it's Greeny, then Waddle and Sylvie, into Black and Abdallah, into Game 5 of the NLCS. Yurko's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Right. I want people to count beans.
That's right.
Okay? I go talk to the hierarchy with the Chicago Bears and the ownership.
That's all you have to know.
Bean counters. That's what you have there.
Yurko's right.
They don't know a rat's ass about football.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.